Welcome to the Foreigners Journalist Podcast, a podcast about life as a foreigner in general and in Germany in particular. The focus of this podcast is to give you insights about life in Germany and to answer your questions about the art of maneuvering life in a foreign country. You're welcome to listen to this podcast for information or just for entertainment.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to this episode of the Foreigners Journals podcast. Today is the 11th of April, 2021. It's a Sunday. It's drizzling here in Germany, at least in the part where I live, which is southwestern part of Germany. And it's fairly warm. I think the temperatures are around 16, 17, which for compared to the rest of the week is actually fairly warm. So this week, so much happened this week. My hope has been not to be talking about coronavirus. My hope has been to be able to talk about other things, but it seems like coronavirus still kind of basically affects all areas of our lives, and it's just so difficult to talk about other things without talking about coronavirus. Because if you have to have home office all the time, if the kids have to have like online school all the time, it's really difficult not to talk about the situation with the coronavirus. But I actually wanted to talk about something completely different, which is what is happening in Britain and in Kenya and the rest of the world. So as you all probably know already, Prince Philip, the husband of the Queen of England, died this past week. And and I guess, I mean, he was 99 years old, so he definitely lived a full life, you know. So he had the privilege to live longer than most people, which is a good thing. That is not the point. That is not what I wanted to talk about when it comes to Britain. I actually wanted to talk about Britain putting Kenya on the red list of the countries that are not allowed to, whose citizens are not allowed to travel into Britain or to transit through Britain. Now, this is something that caused an uproar in Kenyan media space, especially on Twitter. People are really upset about this because of the hypocrisy about this. Because for one, there are lots of British soldiers who train in Kenya, and there's good reason to believe that they probably brought the British mutation of the coronavirus into Kenya. So red list in Kenya is kind of, it just doesn't make sense, you know. But the other thing is that as of now, at least officially, Britain has much, much more corona deaths that have resulted from infections with the coronavirus or just casualties of people who have been infected, you know. I mean, you can, of course, argue that maybe Kenya is not testing as much as Britain, but the truth is that by the current numbers, it just doesn't make sense it doesn't make sense to red list Kenya. So as of today, the total number of cases in Kenya is listed at 145,000 infected, and 2,330 have lost their lives to coronavirus. In contrast, the United Kingdom has had a total of 4.37 million cases, and 127,000 people have lost their lives to coronavirus. That is as of today, the 11th of April, 2021. So it just does not make sense to put Kenya on the red list, you know. Now, of course, you can argue that maybe Kenyans are not testing enough, you know, and the government has dodgy statistics usually. They are not to be completely trusted, but the people have not died in Kenya in the numbers that you've seen in most countries, you know. So there's absolutely no reason to believe that that they're hiding the numbers, you know. So it just doesn't make sense, you know. The funny thing is that I'm not completely sad about this whole thing. I was not upset like everyone else was upset about the whole situation with Britain red list in Kenya. Because the relationship between Britain and Kenya is a very parasitic, toxic relationship. And that is something that you notice, you especially understand if you come out of Kenya. So the first time I went to London, what I noticed was how familiar it felt. You know, it's really, it's everything is like if you've lived in Nairobi and then you move to London, it's really the vibe is the same somehow. You know, and then when you go to continental Europe, when you come to Germany, you feel like it's just completely different, you know. And at the beginning, I wasn't sure exactly what was so different about Britain and what was so different about Germany. And I think with time, I've come to understand what the differences are. For one, as someone who was born and brought up in Kenya, we've gone through the British in Kenya are usually like super rich, you know. They own, even now they own ranches and they own all kinds of posh properties, and that is just normally in Kenya. If you meet a white person, they are most likely to be British, you know. So continental Europeans, you eventually met them in Kenya, but that's a fairly new thing. I think initially you always knew white people as British, you know. In fact, most Kenyans used to be very, very surprised to find out that actually the white people not all white people speak English, you know, because the only white people you got to encounter were actually English speaking, like English people, like from Britain, you know. So part of the reason I said our auntie to explain why this whole thing about Kenya being red listed by Britain, I found it actually amusing. And it's because Britain has a very strange relationship with its former colonies, you know. So even though the British have left, the Africans, who the political class usually see themselves as some kind of, there's this elite group of people that have been groomed, usually with the support of London, or by the British government, to kind of rule, you know. And these people perpetuate corruption, you know. They have all kinds of offshore accounts to siphon state resources, you know. And the general feeling in the population is that there's money, you know, like you cannot do anything about corruption, about corrupt people, because normally they're helped by Britain, basically Britain is on their side, you know. And initially, I would have thought, like many people thought, they used to think, like this is just conspiracy theories or just people being salty, you know. But in the previous elections, like just the last elections in Kenya, there was a strong presence of Cambridge Analytica, which is a British company, and they basically tried to spew hate, you know. So Kenya is a country with different tribes, different ethnic groups that are usually not very friendly to each other. So there's a lot of hostility sometimes, and especially during elections, because political power means access to resources. So the result is that those who have political power have access to money. They have access to government contracts. They have access to jobs. You know, they have access to all kinds of opportunities. So what happens is that those tribes, so it's really a matter of death. Elections in Kenya are a matter of death. And the British know this, you know, the British government knows this and has actively, there is evidence that they've actively worked to help with, you know, like it's a bad situation. If you remove the British from the equation, there would still be quite a lot of hostility in Kenya, but amongst different tribes. But if you find if you have a situation where a former colonial master kind of mixes, like kind of tries to spew hate and tries to stoke the already existing bigotry and hatred amongst different tribes, then you have a very, very toxic mix. So Britain has not always had a constructive role in Kenya, you know. So the result is that you have a political class, an elite class that basically have completely no connection to what really happens in Kenya on the ground, you know. So these are people who, for example, the health minister announced last week, he was asking for people to send like Kenyans across the country who have oxygen cylinders to avail them to the government, you know, so that to help with the with the scarcity of oxygen cylinders for coronavirus victims. And that is something that is so ridiculous, because what kind of a person has an oxygen cylinder at home, you know? The fact that a government minister can ask this of a country where the majority barely have something to eat is just incredible, you know? But this is basically how things work in Kenya, that you have this elite class, you know, just like in Britain, you have elite schools, you have these people who went to, who even as adults identify themselves as graduates of a certain school or whatever, you know. And this is something that you don't find in Germany, you know. No one goes around talking about the high school they attended, you know. And this is something that you find, the same way the likes of Boris Johnson attended Eton College or walk around kind of proud of the school they attended. This is the same way that you'll also find in Kenya, you know. There are people who attended specific schools, and this is something that they walk around as a badge of honor, you know. And part of the reason they do this is because you find that the kind of school you attend also kind of influences the kind of access you have in later life, you know, so that you find like government ministries or whatever's like high government positions are basically reserved for particular people, you know, so like everyone knows each other in those circles, you know. And I would like to, I don't want to say that Germany doesn't have its own kind of elitism, you know, but that kind of elitism, I've not had someone talk to me about, kind of brag to me about the school they attended, you know. That is just rarely there, you know. Maybe there are some who do this, but it's just not the widespread way, you know. It's like, I don't know. So the other thing is that the British ruling class, just like the Kenyan ruling class, is very rich, you know. So in Kenya, most of the time, people get into politics to get access to resources and to become rich, so that you find that the richest people in the country are just politicians, you know. And in Germany, for example, you find that people, you don't necessarily associate politicians with richness, you know. And I hope that it stays like this. But for example, you don't think of Angela Merkel and how much she owns, you know. On the other hand, the Kenyan president and his family have so much property. Like, they basically have an incredible wealth, you know. And this is also something that I think is very British, you know, because they're also those British politicians who are also very, very wealthy, you know. So, so I think that is also something that is very different between Germany and Britain, for example. I feel like this video has been all over the place, but actually, in summary, just wanted to talk about how I think it's hypocritical that Britain has red-listed Kenya, because I think that there is absolutely no reason for it. And the whole thing with coronavirus, I think there is... I feel like this whole episode is a bit out of all over the place, but in summary, I just wanted to talk about how hypocritical I think the British government is in red-listing Kenya, you know. Even though I think that it's a good thing that for once the British government is fighting with the elite, corrupt Kenyan ruling class, I still just think that the hypocrisy is incredible, you know. And there was a time not so long ago when there was an article in BBC kind of asking something like, could it be that poverty has somehow saved Africans from coronavirus or something? It was something as ridiculous as that, you know. And I think like there is so much hypocrisy when dealing with Africa that is sometimes just annoying, you know. And the dishonesty of the British government and also the British media, I think, is just incredible, you know. And So thank you very much for listening, wherever you are. I hope that you are keeping safe. Coronavirus, the numbers in Germany continue to rise, and it looks like we're going to a new hard lockdown again this coming week. And I just hope that somehow we'll get this in under control eventually. Thanks a lot for listening. If you have any questions, then please send them to podcast@theforeignersjournal.com. And if you have a minute, then please give us a 5-star and Till next time. Bye.